Lovers and Newcomers, written by Rosie Thomas and read by Rula Lenska.
September, Chapter 1. The old house has been cold and empty for so long, but now it's stirring. A joint of the oak stair treads releases a sudden sharp snap. A window left open for air rattles in a gust of wind, and the scent of baking rises from the kitchen. The place is coming back to life around me. I'm making cakes for tea, and already I have looked into each of the guest rooms at least 3 times in order to enjoy the sight of folded towels and the little jugs of flowers placed on chests of drawers. Meadow flowers from mead fields, oxeye daisies and cow parsley, which has shed a faint dust of grey pollen on the waxed wood. I reach out to sweep away the powder with my little finger, before deciding that it looks pretty as it is. Not that my old friends will be guests, of course. They will belong here. They do belong here. That's why they are coming. I'm excited at the prospect. The pleasure of anticipation tautened with nerves like a child before a birthday. This thought makes me laugh as I close the bedroom door. Childhood is a very long way off for all of us. That's part of the story. It's already 4 o'clock, a hot afternoon for September. Only the angle of the sun, which has altered from full day to the first suggestion of evening just while I have been lingering in a doorway, suggests that autumn stalks not far off. They'll be here soon. As I walk down the stairs, the long case clock that stands in the hall chimes the hour, echoed today by the faint, damped note of the village church bell. You can only hear the church bell ringing when the wind blows from the southwest. Jake told me that when he first brought me here. My late husband would be pleased with what's happening at Mead, I'm sure he would. I whisper to him in my head, as I sometimes do, in the way people who have become used to living alone conduct imaginary dialogues. We lived our time here, just the two of us, Jake, and came neither to want or need any other company. But without you there is too much time and silence. The house withers, and so do I. From today there will be a new order, and different voices in the old rooms and outside under the heavy trees. The novelty, though, will have a retrospective glimmer that suits Mead, feeding it like wax polish on old wood. Selwyn and Amos and the others are your old friends as well as mine. Although this plan of mine will throw us all into new alignments, we have years of history between us. In the kitchen, I lift the tins out of the oven and turn out my cakes to cool on wire racks near the open window. A huge bumblebee flusters against the glass, so I find a muslin-covered frame to place over them. But I find myself standing, lost in thought, my fingers still gripping the harmless frame as the bee escapes into the breeze. I want this experiment to succeed. I want it so much. From 3 different directions, 3 vehicles were converging on the old house and its cradle of fields and trees. Selwyn Davies cursed as he ground the gears of the borrowed van yet again. This thing is a heap of shit. It's knackered. It's about as old as me and just as useless. His partner didn't look up from the newspaper she held in 2 hands, braced at chest level. Partner is a gruesome bloody word, Polly would say, but what are you supposed to call the person you never married but have lived with for 30 years and have 3 kids by? You're not old or useless. Stop saying you are. Is there any more tea in the flask, Poll? She sighed. Do you want to stop? No, I just want some tea. You're driving. Oh, am I? Oh, right, thanks. Might have overlooked that if you hadn't reminded me. Polly smiled. It's not far now. I'd offer to drive if I thought you'd agree to change over.